and animal husbandry in the Vedas. And this is a retired Sanskrit scholar. He taught Sanskrit in India in a number of universities. And when he retired, he took all of his knowledge from all the Vedas and all, and his disturbance by what's happening in civilization right now with people in the villages starving. And he's wondering why so many suicides, so many things going on. So he wrote this book, and it was all about why, because we hear in the Vedas, the cow is the center of the social order. He's the center of society. She and he, the bull and the cow. And I often wonder, why is that? Oh, maybe because we can't do puja and all without the cow. We need ghee, we need yogurt for bathing the deities. You see, ghee, yogurt, milk, butter. For a fire sacrifice, you need ghee for offering to Agni, to the fire. So I'm thinking, but he explains in a more amazing way why the cow is the center of a community. And that's because not only do the bulls plow and grains can come from there, and which is necessity, but also the cows, the dung, you'll see out there, they're cooking chapatis on cow dung fire. So even a cow that maybe isn't giving milk anymore, even a cow that maybe for some reason or other never could give milk, they were very valuable, and that's because of their dung. Okay, you see, especially in Vrindavan, you see all the huts beautifully made, all decorated to protect their cow dung patties. And why is that? Because so little wood. And if you were to buy wood to cook with, it would be so expensive, no one could afford. But cow dung patties are always available. I can't remember how many pounds of cow dung one cow per day produces, but it's amazing. So much. And that's used for fuel. It's used for your garden. It's one of the best things for manure for your garden to grow things. And he says in here that actually in Ayurveda, the most potent herbs and medicines are made when the herbs. are fertilized with the manure of the cow. And it's said that the Ayurvedic medicines have lost a lot of their potency due to the lack of cow dung. Now they use artificial fertilizers and all, and he was saying they've lost the potency that they used to have. And also, and you know, you think in a village, like now, to go to a doctor costs us so much money. So many people can't even afford. Now there's so much back and forth about affordable care, this, that. But in a village, you had an Ayurvedic doctor. Very minimal amount of money. They're growing the herbs and things. The cow's ghee. I know for my son that had the car accident, one Ayurvedic doctor, he gave us a medicine, and it was based in ghee. But he said, this medicine, he said, it's very potent. And if he starts getting headaches, stop giving it to him. And so I started giving, and it was done in milk. You had to put the ghee with the medicinal herbs in the milk, and then, but he immediately got a reaction of headaches. So then we had to stop the, but I was thinking how potent that medicine is, right? So anyone could afford medicine because of the cows. And then he was saying, did any of you ever wonder, you know, in the Krishna stories, it says how the kings, or even in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the kings, they would be so kind to their praja, or their citizens, that they would save grains and all, because everyone would give their taxes in grains, or whatever they had. So then the king would store all these grains. And then at time of drought, then immediately they would have grains to distribute to everyone so that no one would starve in their kingdom. But I always thought, how could they keep grains? You know, think, if you keep grains in your cupboard, soon those little bugs come and start eating into them, and then you have the moss coming out, and everything spoils. So how did they keep grains then? No refrigeration, no freezers. Does anybody have any idea? Does anyone know? They take the ash from cow dung fires. And he says in here that it's the same weight of grain is the same weight of the ash. And they mix it with, and you can keep grain safely for 12 years with no damage whatsoever. And then you wash the grains before you use them. So such an amazing thing. And he said, without that, what are they doing to keep their grains? Then you have the oxen, which they will work. They work so hard, and they enjoy the work. They go out, they plow the fields, they take people from here to there. They're doing their cow dung manure in your garden as you're plowing with them. And they feel useful. I know our oxen, our son's gone, and you see them, they're looking kind of miserable. You know, they're out there in the field, and no one's bringing them in and working with them. So they like being worked with. So there's your transportation. No more petrol do you need. No diesel for your tractors. You know, you have your manure for your fertilizer. You have your herbs for your doctors. You know, and everything is contained there for minimal amount. The perfect society. So you see how the cow is the center. We live so far from that. It's like one time, one little girl came to our temple when we were up in North Carolina. And afterwards, I was going to milk, and I said, you want to bring her down to see a cow get milk? She said, yeah, she's never seen that before. So she brought her daughter down, and we're milking, and I said, see, this is where your milk comes from. She goes, no, it's from Food Lion. And then her mother said, no, this is where the milk comes from. It's from Food Lion. And she could not accept that this is the same milk she would drink, because her milk comes from Food Lion. So I was thinking, we're so far removed, and our children are even more far removed from the cow. And it's nice that you can go and see a cow sometime, but to actually brush the cows, to interact with the cows, to have some interaction where you see the cow as a person. She's a person. All of them are different. They have likes and dislikes. Every one of them has milk tastes different. Do you know Mother Yashoda wanted the best milk for Krishna? And she had one cow that gave the best milk, and she kept all that milk only for Krishna. And that is cows. We have one cow, she gives such creamy milk, and her ghee from her milk is bright, bright, orangey yellow. It looks like gold. And then we have another cow, and her milk, her cream is kind of whitish, and not as much. And they're the same types of cows. So every cow is different, and their personalities are different. Some are very loving. Some are like, don't come near me unless I want you to. They're all different, and they're persons. And who would know that if you just drive past the field of cows? You wouldn't know, right? They just all are cows. And that's why it's easy for people to slaughter cows. They have nothing to do with them. It's not a big deal. It's like the girl with the milk that just comes from the grocery store. I remember once my mother saying, oh, cows, they have the most beautiful eyes. And I said, so why do you eat them? She goes, don't say that. I don't want to hear that. I said, but it's true. You're eating this beautiful animal. So it's very important to be close to the cows. And I think Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to please work with the cows. You know, try to grow our own food. Try to be not dependent on this petroleum society. Because this society is based on the cow. This society is based on petrol. Look at the end result of a society based on petrol. There's unemployment. There's wars for this petroleum, right? That's why all of our wars are being fought right now, is to get petrol and cheap. You know, people are unhealthy. Our health system is so expensive that people can't even afford it. We're so out of whack, our society. And that's a society based on petroleum. But a society based on our mother, the cow, and the land is perfect. We get everything we need with a little work. We have time for our pujas and our japa and our everything. We can feed ourselves. We can build. If you go down to the eco village down at the back, they built a house with cow dung. Cow dung, hay. You know, and you go to villages, they have two-story, I know in Mayapur, there's two-story buildings that is just made out of cow dung and straw. And the cow, she eats what we don't want, and she produces milk and yogurt and ghee and butter. Such wealth. Who can have that? And it's nothing like what you buy from the store. I think most people here that get fresh milk can attest to that. It's nothing like it. The paneer you make is so wonderful. On Friday, I did a cooking class to show the girls how to make paneer and use milk. And we made a scrambled curd to offer to the Lord afterwards. And we put in yogurt to curdle the milk. And then we put in a bit of cream to do the scrambled curd. And all from our cows. And I'm like, oh, this tastes so different from anything I've ever had. And yes, it is, because it's directly from a happy cow. Our kids used to call the ice cream we'd make happy cow ice cream. Because the cows are happy. They know they're not going to be killed. They're protected. They're our mothers. They're protected. How can we take their milk and then in the end get rid of them? I mean, when not that long ago, one of our oxen died, and he was one of our best workers. He was so happy to work and to be with everyone. And it was so sad. And all I could think of was all the service he'd done. All the service. What to speak of our cows? When they go also, it's like so much milk they've given. So many times they've, like here, all the rascals here are from our cow's milk. You know, and they're offered to the Lord. And so much service they've done, and they're feeding devotees to make them healthy. Srila Prabhupada said, without milk, our brains are not getting the nourishment they need for higher understanding of life. We can be a materialist and maybe be a vegan, although I talked to one Ayurvedic doctor, and he was saying that, he said, a vegan right now, he said, it's like riding a bike. He said, you can get up some momentum, and if you stop pedaling, it'll slow down gradually. But then suddenly it'll fall over. And he said, it's the same thing with being a vegan. He said, they have some health in their body, and so they'll go along fine for a while, but then it'll slow down and sickness will set in. So I was thinking, this dairy products, but we can't just buy from the slaughterhouse. And I totally understand why people want to reject that kind of milk. It's totally, but we have to have dairy. We have to have milk. So it seems like the more we can start making our communities and our society based on the cows, the more all of us can take advantage of getting good dairy, giving good dairy to our children, so that that brain substance for us to understand the higher principles of life can come. Because we're all wanting that for all of our family members. We want them to get that higher brain substance. And all the Vedas explain how the cows, as our mother, are so important. And another point I was thinking, the earth as our mother. Right now, what are we doing? We're drilling for oil, for gas, for petroleum, so many things, drilling into her. I mean, isn't that why the earth fell when Varaha had to pick it up, was all the drilling. And right now, still, we're drilling, drilling, drilling. But on a cow-based economy, there's no drilling. It's just picking up the cow dung. You can make fires, you can cook, you can heat. So many things. You can build your home. So many things can be done. It's simple. And maybe some people say, oh, it's too simple. You know, I don't want to live like that. Hard work. Hard. But where is the easy life for anyone working in the cities and all now? So much stress, driving so far to get to work, driving back, having to be clocked in, clocked out. There was one man, what is that country, I can't remember, where they still have a king, and it's considered the happiest place in the on the earth. Bhutan, yes. My son sent me this link for this man talking about Bhutan. It was a TEDx talk, I think. And he was telling a little bit about himself, and he said, you know, he said, I got a scholarship to go to college, away to England. And I thought, oh, this is so good. This is such great luck for me. You know, and everyone's saying, oh, this is very nice. This is very nice. I said, but when I got there and I was working so hard in school, get good grades, keep working, and everyone doing so many things, no friends, no family, the food is all bad. You know, he said, I suddenly started wondering, is this happiness? Now I can see, after this, I'll have to get a job, and then I'll be working like a slave for somebody for so many years, just trying to make ends meet. I said, is this really what I want? And before I had this beautiful life in Bhutan, you know, we had so many festivals at our temples. You know, the king makes sure everyone is happy there. He makes laws. Right now, laws are being made, what, to fill certain people's pockets and things. No care for the citizens that it's harming. But there, everything has to be discussed. How will this affect our people? You know, will this make them happy? We don't care about our gross, what is that word, gross? Yes. We don't care about that. We want gross happiness product. We want everyone to be happy here. I was a little concerned at the end of his talk. He said he went back. He couldn't handle it. He said, I don't care about this. I want a happy life. So he went back, and he's one of the ministers there, you know, that helps the king to make up laws and things for their country. But one thing I was worried about was he said they are now getting television. They have to be up with the rest of the world. And I thought, this is the downfall of a society. The television, the one-eyed guru is what we used to call them. Because it gives the idea that this materialistic way of life is the best life. This is happiness. This is how you're going to be happy. But it's not true. I remember in India, when they first started getting, we were living in Mayapur, and I had to go to Krishnanagar. And we were going along in a rickshaw to the train station, and there was this whole group of people in a circle. I said, oh, they must be having some kind of meeting. Well, they were, but it was around their television set. And they were watching some American television show, which I'm sure none of them even understood. But they were, ooh, ooh. you know, looking, oh, look what they have, how they wash their clothes, how they, right? And that change, then desires creep in. Oh, I must get one of those. Look at the cars they're driving. We must. Then this whole social system breaks down, and the cow is no longer. And like Srila Prabhupada said, once you stop using the cows, what do? They get sent to slaughter. Once you stop using the oxen, because it's a burden, it becomes a burden. You know, and then they're sent to slaughter. So it's very important that we keep in mind that the cow is our mother, and the importance of cows in our society. And at some point, we might be forced to take action to use the cow in her proper position, and the bull, and Mother Earth. There might come a time, but we should know what to do. We should know how our life should look. And it's not really like it's looking now. Maybe a little. But anyway, no scare. I know we all have to live our lives a certain way, but we need to keep that in mind. And support cow protection, however you can. They have such a nice goshala down here that they're just starting up again. So any donations will always help for whatever they need. There's many devotees that also have protected cows, protected milk. You can ask about that and purchase milk from them if they have, you know, and support their trying to do the right thing. You know, so there's many ways we can help to glorify our mother cow and to start getting some relationship and understanding how important she is to all of us in this society. And how important the land is also. That's one of our mothers, Mother Earth. You know, everyone says Mother Earth. You know, even health food stores are called Mother Earth. Because they know the earth is a mother. She gives and gives. So much giving. There was one man I just saw in India, and he started, his parents' land became just a desert. So he started planting trees. He had just retired, I think, and he decided he was going to start planting trees. And he started planting trees. He was using cow dung for the, and within 20 years, I think it was, it was amazing. It was like a beautiful jungle with gorgeous trees, and the cows were out there grazing under the trees. It was amazing how it recovered. So all of us should think, you know, you see so many trees being cut down now for paper or for just burning. There's a whole huge pile of wood just down our road, 235. Just burning. That's all they're going to do with it. Just burn it. And it's such a waste. Such a waste of a life. One time in Dallas, there was a tree, and it was leaning on one of the buildings. And so one devotee said, oh, this is dangerous. We need to cut it down. And Srila Prabhupada came to the Gurukula right after that, and he said, where is this tree? Who has cut this tree? And he was very angry that they had cut the tree. This is a living entity. We have to start seeing all living entities. They love their life also. A tree, she's giving shade, or she or he, the tree, gives shade, gives fruits, gives flowers. And then we just cut down because we don't like where it's at or what. You see in India how they build walls around the tree. You know, they don't cut it down. They just make the wall go around the tree. Or a tree that's kind of saggy, they'll prop it up with something so that it can hold its branches up. You know, this is reality versus, I don't even know what to call it, versus no thinking, I think is what it is. No thought for the living entity. So we should think about all of our mothers today. And keep it in mind for always. Keep trying to add what you do to give respect to our mothers, the cows, the land, the Brahmins, the guru's wife, you know, our real mothers. You know, it doesn't really have to be a day. We should always be offering respect. It said that the mother, there was a poem, and I can't remember who wrote it, but he said, the woman who rocks the cradle rules the world. Because they're the first teacher. They're the ones who train the children from young. And they're also the ones that the children listen to. Even if they become President of the United States, or maybe not the President of the United States, I don't know. But, you know, someone may become a king, but still will ask the opinion of their mother. So they're important persons in our social networks, and we should all give respect to all of the mothers. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all the mothers in our lives. Are there any questions or comments that anyone wants to add anything or pick it up from?
That was an incredible class. I just really enjoyed it so much.
Thank you.
I'm just going to add, like you're talking about Mother Yasoda and trying to find the best milk for Krishna. Part of it was that like certain cows would feed and, you know, eat grass in a certain area, like sweet grass.
Mm-hmm.
It also has something to do with the flavor, because whatever they eat, I guess, comes to the milk.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you mentioned the prayers for protection of the children. And I just happened upon those really by accident one time. My son had gone to, he was only 12 or 13, and he was going to be on the Christmas marathon and work in the subway. He had never even been to a subway before. So when people started telling me what the subway was like, I was like kind of freaking out, you know? So I was reading Bhagavatam, and I came upon these prayers, which were unbelievably so comprehensive, like going through every part of the body, everything, the mind, every direction. And besides that, Srila Prabhupada gives a recommendation in the purport in two different places where he's saying, you know, people should know these prayers to protect Vedic civilization, and they can give the greatest protection from the greatest danger for the children. So just putting in that prayer before those prayers are so wonderful.
Thank you.
I know it's late, but this really just is saying again in a different way, one of your points. But I remember there was an article from a couple of decades ago in Back to Godhead magazine that was completely convincing, scientific and logical, proving, well, first they asked the question, if you could choose between having an unlimited amount of gold and an unlimited amount of carbon, which would make you more wealthy? Not which will make you happy, which do you think is more religious? What would actually make you more wealthy? And they proved in the article that unlimited amount of carbon would do it. You know, and the simple understanding is if you have gold, you'll spend it, then everybody will be having gold because you spent it everywhere. If you have unlimitedly, then it won't have any value anymore. But carbon unlimitedly, as you said, put it in the desert, and then you can grow all kinds of food. There's so many arid spaces on the planet. And the one thing everybody needs, Prabhupada said, that after coming to Gitanagari, when the cows were being taken care of and giving so much milk, he said, at Gitanagari, we have solved the major problem of life, food. So if you have enough cow dung, then everybody has what they need.
Yes.
And the people are satisfied, no more war.
Actually, at Gitanagari, Bhaktivedanta Swami was giving class one time I was there, and he said, we'll take a survey. How many of you have a cell phone and know how to use a cell phone? Raise your hands. Okay? And how many of you know how to use a computer? Send emails, do all that kind of thing? Okay? So it's pretty much everyone. How many of you have milked a cow? Oh, well, this is pretty good. There's a fair amount of them. Very good. Well, there was only three out of a whole room full of people. And everyone, except for me, had a cell phone, because I don't have one. And everyone, including me, knew how to use a computer. But there was only three of us that knew how to milk a cow. So, and that's food, or how to grow food. That's what you're going to live on. It's not on a computer, a cell phone, Facebook, emails. That will not save your life if you're hungry. And good air, fresh water, good food, milk, that's what we need to survive. And we take those so for granted, like it's nothing, like it's just there. So, Prabhu. Sorry, we're going over. Anyone want to go out and eat? I can see them queuing up.
There is one molecule known as ceramide, which is an anti-cancer agent. This is a lipid. And this is highest in concentration in cow's milk. Then it comes to the human mother. So, it said that the butter ghee in the horse is not very good for the health. But it has been proven that cow's ghee, cow's butter is the most healthy thing because it has the highest ceramide in it. And it can protect our cells, intestinal cells, from antioxidant, being an antioxidant. And I myself have done the research on this and published the paper maybe 7-8 years ago.
Oh, I'd like to have a copy of your paper.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. I know, I saw in a medical report, it was probably about 20 years ago in North Carolina, they were looking into trying to figure out how to take that out of milk and get a synthetic, and they have not been able to do so.
Now it is sold commercially. Mm. One can buy from Sigma and other companies, they are selling it.
Okay, at that time they didn't know how to do that. But, and it's grass-fed cows, right? Yeah. Cows that eat grass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they are so important to us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Mother Cow, and all the mother cows.
Thank you. We're going to be sharing now. Please go and check out their display out.